Welcome to the latest edition of the Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast, brought to you by Qubit, the trusted experts in analytics. Our goal is to cut through the jargon and hype around analytics and data science and share practical advice to guide you on your analytics journey. You can find us at qubit.com, that's Q-U-E-B-I-T.com. Thank you for joining me today. I'm A.G. Tan. Welcome to this week's Ask Qubit About Analytics podcast. I am A.G. Tan, and I am very glad you tuned in. This week, we're going to talk about one of my favorite vices, shopping. I don't indulge every day, but once in a while, it's relaxing and fun to spend time in a store looking for something unexpected or interesting. And I'm not alone. According to the U.S. Census, retail sales hit $6 trillion with a T last year, and year-over-year retail sales were up over 3%. That sounds pretty good for the retail industry, doesn't it? Well, we also know that many traditional retailers are struggling as online shopping becomes ubiquitous. What's a traditional retailer to do? They are really besieged on multiple fronts. Even though we, the shopping public, still like going to stores sometimes, we have always been a difficult bunch to please. How often have you said, "What? You don't have this in my size?" Or, "You don't have it in this color?" It was hard enough to be a retailer in the old days, but now it's even worse. If I, the shopper, get irritated, I'll just go home and find it online. I've done this many times. It's a tough business for sure. Today, though, I'd like you to flip your perspective and take a look at things from a retailer's point of view. Suppose you owned a retail business. How do you decide what to put in stores? How do you source them at competitive prices? How do you anticipate what people want to buy? And who knows how to make these kinds of decisions and make plans around them? It turns out that there are specialists in the retail industry who do this called buyers. According to a definition I found online, a retail buyer is responsible for planning, selecting, and purchasing quantities of goods and merchandise that are sold in retail stores. So, now that I've gotten you hopefully in a listening mood, I'd like to introduce Jim Hannafin, who is an implementation manager and architect at Qubit, who also happens to have a side hustle as a very fast skier. But Jim has been working with a very large retailer recently, and he's going to tell us a little bit about some of the challenges they faced and how they've overcome them. So, hello, Jim. Welcome.
Hi, AG. Thanks for having me.
Jim, I'm really interested to hear about this company, especially since I am such a big shopper. Maybe you can start by giving us a big picture overview of the company that you worked with and the business problem that you helped them solve.
Sure. So thanks again for having me. So basically, this is a large, very large organization with many different brands across the entire world with thousands of stores. That you can go into with products across every different facet of your life that you might want to buy, and essentially one of the biggest problems that they have is managing what their inventories and what their planning is going to be across all of these different stores, across all of these different products, across an international environment. So one of the biggest things that we had to go in and solve was actually, how do you manage a scale and a volume of that data? Because how they're handling it today, or previously how they were handling it, was they actually would use paper printouts every single Monday that their buyers and their merchandisers would get and receive to actually analyze what had been sold, what was in stock in their stores. And what was their outlook for future sales that they were projecting and planning for upcoming seasons, clothes or home goods or different items coming off the shelves throughout the season, and how do you restock those? Are those in season or off season? How do you plan for that?
Wow. So that's kind of like a mind-boggling amount of data, right? Because I'm imagining, you know, like walking through a big department store and you know, like tens of thousands of different things that they're selling. From an analytics point of view, I mean, you know, as an analytics person myself, I mean, that's kind of, you know, an exciting prospect to have data to play with. But on the other hand, the notion that this kind of information would be printed out on you know, stacks of paper and distributed to people so that they could create plans, yeah, that is even more mind-boggling to me than the volumes of data.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you know, I think one of their big success points within their entire story of the organization is their ability to not lose who they were. So one of the other big challenges that we had to face were those folks that were set in their ways that did not want to move on from a paper-based planning structure, and actually having to work with them to show them that you can actually leverage technology today and actually get more detailed, more granular, and better answers out of the tools that we can provide to you and the expertise that we can provide within those tools, then you might be able to glean just from a piece of paper. So while I think, you know, what has worked for them for so long is definitely true and they don't want to lose that identity, I think over the course of this project and this engagement and in the long run, they're really seeing the benefit of what we have been able to provide and what technology is able to provide to them with regards to a large, large, you know, volume of data that they have at their fingertips to be able to access at any given time on a day-to-day basis, as opposed to having to wait for these weekly printouts to come out each Monday morning for them to do their analysis on.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you mentioned that, right? Because sometimes people think, you know, that analytics is a technology problem and maybe a business problem, but they don't necessarily understand there's a whole people and behavioral aspect to it as well, which you ignore at your peril, right? So, you know, I like to think of it as, you know, a very interesting challenge to make sure that that gets taken into account as well. And it sounds like, you know, you guys had this challenge and managed to figure it out.
Yeah, I would say so. I think it was definitely a very unique challenge because it's a space that is overlooked in the planning on the planning side of things. So with it came a lot of unique challenges.
Right. No, that's a really interesting and I think, you know, very, very powerful point. You know, sometimes people get used to doing things a certain way and it seems to work. But I would imagine that now we're in this, you know, changing environment with online, you know, being a major disruptor to the retail industry, that you no longer have the luxury of being able to wait a week in order to plan, right? You really do need to start leveraging these technologies to be able to be much more responsive so that you can keep up and hopefully not just survive, but also thrive.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's just provided so many, you know, just the tradition or the introduction of traditional online or the introduction of online retailers has really thrown a wrench into these traditional, you know, mom and pop style of, you know, retail stores where, you know, folks just aren't walking into a store any longer to, you know, pick up a decoration for their home or a new pair of jeans or even a package of paper towels. I think you people are getting online now. So it's, I think that fighting that, and evolving with the times to be able to keep up with that is really come down to being able to react to what technologies and leverage the technologies that these online retailers are using today. And that with that comes the ability to adopt the technology that allows you to be able to make those, you know, minute to minute or day to day types of decisions that will allow you to maximize your efficiency within the retail space.
No, absolutely. All right, Jim. So thank you for that overview. Now I'd like to try and get into a little bit more specific examples to make sure that I understand really, you know, what we're talking about. I like to try and picture how this is being used. So let me start with this question. So can you give me or tell me very specifically a little bit more about what's on these reports, or now that we have a dashboard, right? What's on the dashboard or the online analytics report that these retail buyers are getting? Like, what information would one retail buyer, let's call him John, what would John be getting or seeing on the screen?
Sure. So one of the fundamental aspects of being a buyer is understanding what you currently have available, and what you're hoping to sell and what the cadence of sales are. So in order to understand that, you basically need that fundamental data to flow into this dashboard. So what that would consist of is basically all of a store, you know, all of your stores within a given region, or maybe it's a specific store or what have you, whatever the user or, you know, the buyer is trying to view, from a granularity perspective. They would view all the products or as many products as they want across all the stores or as many stores as they want. And within there, they would be able to see what's their current inventory. What is their planned inventory for all of these products, and what are their typical sales or what are their current sales within given time periods? So you could see all of that information across all of these different products and stores, as well as the seasonality of the trends. So you could then make decisions and make your plans off of that data that's coming into this dashboard. It's very interactive and allows you to be able to set it up in a way that most makes sense to you personally, and also makes the most sense to the individual type of analysis that you're trying to get out of that particular task that you're performing in that given time.
All right. Okay. No, that was a great description. Exactly the detail I was looking for. So I wish I'd picked a better name, but we'll stay with John. So John's task today, let's pretend, John's task today is to basically plan what needs to be bought to replenish whatever it is. So he's looking at his dashboard, and I don't know, I'm going to pick white shirts just because that jumps to mind. And he can see how many white shirts he's got in 10 different stores that he's overseeing. And he can see how many are there right now, how many are planned to be there because they've already been ordered. And he can go back and see, you know, what the seasonality for selling white shirts was in the past. Like maybe they peak in December for holiday parties. And based on that, he can make decisions as to how many more white shirts he wants to order for each store going forward. Is that the kind of scenario that we're talking about?
Yeah, definitely. And you can apply that scenario across any sort of product within this organization. But essentially, how they would go about it is they would open up the dashboard. They go to that specific area. So in this case, it'd be white shirts. And they could look and they could see, how many shirts do I have right now? How many did I have at this time last year? And how many do I have planned for over the next, you know, X number of months, 4 months throughout the rest of this planning cycle? But then there's other information as well that you can see. Well, what is my average sales look like as far as how do I stack up, and how much do I normally sell this time of year, or how much will I sell going out? So how much do I need to plan for coming up? And or how much do I typically have in stock this type of this time of year? So that way I know, well, maybe my sales are a little slow, but I should stock up anyway, because I know that there's going to be a big rush because it's the summertime and people are hot.
So. Yes, white shirts are good in the heat.
Yes. But then there's also other metrics too, where you can look and you can see, well, how fast is this actually coming off my shelf? So when I actually have a new volume of shirts or a new palette of shirts come in, how fast does it really come off the shelves? And you're able to see that through this dashboard and having this data at your fingertips, so you can make decisions on that. Whereas, you know, some products like a shirt, those will sell really quick because it is the summertime and people are wanting to go outside and enjoy the weather. Whereas, you know, you may have off season products like, you know, winter coats, for example, where they may sell very, very quickly in the winter because people are cold and want to bundle up. And the Northeast, being that we're in such a lovely climate up here, mm-hmm. in the summertime, people really aren't buying coats, winter coats as much, but you can see the change in how fast you might be able to stock up on coats because people might still be looking to get ready for the winter, but just maybe not as many folks. So you can see how fast they're still coming off your shelves in that given time. And then with that, you can also see what is your average retail price of these coats, and how much do you think you'll actually need to plan for from an overall sales dollars and revenue perspective, and how much you can expect in that regard. So you can make decisions all the way from an inventory level, at, you know, how many more shirts do I need to plan for this coming week, all the way up to, well, I know these are my most profitable items that I want to stock up for, that I know people will buy. So let's buy these brands of these items, because we know that will be our most profitable, sales coming through.
Wow. So I love that. That's a great story, you know, and I feel like I can put myself in these people's shoes. Now, this is a large company, and as you said, they have, tens of thousands of stores around the world. And so they must have, hundreds, maybe thousands of retail buyers to support all this. And if every single one of them is using a dashboard and inputting their plans into that dashboard, you know, that must then also yield some very, very interesting analysis possibilities at a consolidated level, right? Like, you add all of that together, all the buyers buying white shirts across the world and being able to compare, you know, how quickly they're going off the shelves in different regions and being able to, compare pricing across different parts of the world or different regions. Is that something that this company is making use of?
Absolutely. So I think one of the biggest things that we saw through this engagement was how you can group these different types of products together. So, you know, a white shirt may roll up into all of clothing, or might roll up into, white clothing in general, let's say.
Right.
You can see how that would sell across different regions, and you can go all the way down to, you know, a few stores within a 10-mile radius, all the way up to the entirety of North America, and see how do those sell as a whole, so you can make larger business decisions on, well, is this brand really something that we want to pursue as a whole, or is across all of our stores and want to include in every single one of our locations across the globe because that it's that popular, or is this a really specialized market? So going back to our last example, white shirts, those will sell anywhere. Winter jackets probably aren't going to sell so well in Florida, but you can actually, which may seem like a very, very obvious, situation when you logically think about it. But at the same time, when you extrapolate that across thousands and thousands and thousands of products across thousands of stores, It allows you to make decisions on each individual product and each individual brand. And, you know, let's say someone in the Northeast is looking to go on a trip to Florida. Well, one thing that you actually might not realize is that a lot of people are in the wintertime are moving down to Florida, which I'm sure you're aware of. But at the same time, a lot of people will do their shopping for Florida in the Northeast during the wintertime to prep to go down. So stores will actually see a bump in their summertime sales, or what you would consider summertime clothing, prior to moving down to Florida. So you'd have to plan for that accordingly. And seeing the regional shifts in that at a macro level is really something that now having this type of tool, you can really have at your fingertips and make those decisions and see, well, what happens if winter comes a week early or 2 weeks earlier this year, or if there's a big that we know is coming into the area. Well, you can plan to have, you know, additional product available in store for folks that are looking to be prepared and come in. So it allows you to make those types of decisions on a very, very quick day-to-day or even hour-to-hour basis.
All right. So we've gotten to the last section, Jim, where I always like to ask if you have any good advice or tips and tricks for an organization trying to do something like this.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that I learned or really found on this project was in this engagement was that when you're dealing with this size of data and this complex of a situation, when there's so many different intricacies and interconnecting pieces that need to go into building out a system that will allow interactivity the way that it does, the biggest thing that you need to avoid is overcomplicating it. And what I mean in reality, that can mean a lot of different things, but really what I'm getting to is really when you're trying to design this, think about what is the biggest business case that I'm trying to solve? What is the largest, most overarching theme that I'm trying to go for? And start there and then start peeling the layers back. Because once you start getting into the minutia of trying to solve for 100 different edge cases where in certain circumstances, yes, this might be very applicable and it might be away from the norm. Now you're starting to burden the overall integrity of the system that you're trying to build. And in doing so, you're really hurting everything else that you're trying to achieve in, let's say, 80% of the rest of the system. So my advice is really start with the large, big picture. What are you really trying to solve? And what is the most important thing to come out of your engagement and out of your project? And then work your way down once you've solved for that and figure out what can you and what is feasible to incorporate from an edge case or a real complexity add perspective. Figure out what makes sense to add and then work your way back. And if there's something that is going to severely hinder and potentially, you know, degrade the overall experience and the ability for the system to perform as a whole, and that can mean from an actual system performance or that could mean from a user usability standpoint and perspective. If there's something that's really going to degrade from that, really have a hard conversation about it or think about it and understand what is the real gain and is it worth adding in and going through the troubles of adding it in, or is that something that can be handled by a user or by someone else outside of the system? Because at the end of the day, people have jobs for a reason that they can be able to do their analysis and be able to use the data that they have at their disposal and make discretionary point decisions on the data that is available. So if there's a real edge case like that, it probably makes sense to do it outside of a large system if it's going to compromise the integrity of what you're trying to deliver at the end of the day.
No, thank you, Jim. I think it's a great story and congratulations on the project. And thank you very much for sharing your experience with us.
Thank you again, Edgy. This is great.
that's it for today. Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Do you have anything you would like to ask Qubit about analytics? You can tweet us at AskQubit or email us at info@qubit.com. That's info@QUEBIT.com. Until next time.